Good morning. It's a blessing to be here with you this morning. I'm going to offer $100 for anybody who come up with some of those first tapes of Theris singing. I want those recordings. Maybe more, depending on how many tapes you come up with. That's awesome. We appreciate you visiting with us, if you're here visiting with us today. And our hope and our prayer is that you might make this your church home and your church family eventually. And we hope you'll be blessed. I know you'll be blessed and have already by just being here today to worship the Lord and be together with the body of Christ. And we hope you have time after service. Give us the opportunity and the privilege of getting to know you a little better and visiting with you. And we hope you'll find it a privilege to get to know us a little better as well. We'll be on our best behavior. It is Sunday, after all. Now, later in the week, who knows what... But we'll be kind and friendly today, and we'd love to get to know you. Let's go to our Heavenly Father for a brief prayer. Father, our God in heaven, we thank you, as we have already today, for another Lord's Day. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings of this life, and especially for the greatest gift you could ever give, the gift of your Son, that we might experience, Father, forgiveness of our sins, the hope of spending eternity with you, Father, a peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, we thank you for all the blessings in Christ that are too many to number even in this prayer. Be with us, Father, throughout the rest of this service. We pray that we might bring honor and glory to your name. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The topic of the sermon is tied in with Thanksgiving, which is this Thursday. I'm sure you know of. You're aware of that already. Thank you for reminding me of my anniversary, by the way, brother. Appreciate that. I do, after 30 years, I do remember the month now, but I get the day wrong because it's the 24th. But it took me all week to get that out of Vicky, and I was digging around looking for the marriage certificate. I couldn't find it. But my dad's is like the 20. All those 20s, I get confused. That's my excuse over the years. So thank you, brother. Appreciate that. It's Wednesday, by the way. So the lesson is on tied in with Thanksgiving and, of course, giving thanks to God for all that he's done for us. And we can't do that in one service or even in one sermon. But if you want to be turning over to 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll kind of focus in on verses 16 through 18. Thank you, Josh, for that scripture reading to get us ready for the lesson. And then we'll jump around a little bit, but basically we're going to look at giving thanks to God and focusing on thanking God, and then thanking God for one another, thanking God for trials in this life, and then fourthly, thanking God for salvation, for looking forward to spending eternity with him. So while you turn over there to Thessalonians, you know, I want you to think about this, you know, your own life experiences, but in my experience, there are things I'm not really truly deeply thankful for until they're gone, until I don't have them anymore. And then I look back and I think, you know, I did appreciate those things, but I wish I would have appreciated them more at that time when I was experiencing those things in life. For example, you know, looking back on Thanksgiving, I'm blessed with just great memories of going to my grandmother's house out in Foundryville, outside the little town we lived in. And there was a race through town every year that run for the diamonds, by the way. If you want to go win some diamonds for your anniversary, I can no longer run or win diamonds in a race. But they would run past my grandmother's house. That was kind of part of the tradition. And then, of course, after that race, we would enjoy turkey and all the traditional, you know, trimmings that go along with the meal. And it was just, when you walk in the house, you know how that is, whether it's grandma's house or when all that is cooking. I mean, the mashed potatoes and the corn and the stuffing and the turkey and the ham, and it's all just mixed together. It's like, wow, this is like heaven on earth. And I did appreciate it at the time. They even found some, now, I don't know if it was back in those days or, you know, the tradition was the women did all the cooking. It wasn't my fault. They did not want us in the kitchen. Nowadays, men are kind of pushed into the kitchen, I think. So we would, you know, gesture to help. Like, they say, okay, throw a stick of butter in the corn. And we just unwrap it and throw it. Let it, watch it melt. You know, like, do that and then go back to the living room, would you? Or mash the potatoes and then we mash. Okay, get out. You did your job. Give us some elbow room, right? But those were such great times. And then I always share with you stories about going in the service then. And my first, I'll make it brief, but my first Thanksgiving away from home was a shocker because I was on that construction tender I've mentioned so many times. And Chummy the cook, that was his nick. It may have been his real name. I don't know. But he kind of slapped this cold frozen turkey on the stainless steel counter. And then there was boxes of like, you know, instant mashed potatoes and instant stuffing and whatever, and then cans of corn instead of the corn we had canned, like fresh corn during the, well, my grandmother and aunts did. So he kind of put these cans down and the boxes and the frozen turkey, and he's kind of like, here's your Thanksgiving dinner while you guys stand duty, you know, two of us. And so that's when I first looked back and like really appreciated Thanksgiving with the family. And perhaps you have similar memories as well. I am thankful I was a Christian by then, and other Christians came over, though, from the campus ministry, and we had Thanksgiving. We cooked the turkey. We didn't keep it frozen. And he told me what temperature to set the oven. We did manage to bake this turkey and had a good Thanksgiving, even with other Christians. So that's one of my Thanksgivings away from home I'm really thankful for. And, of course, God made it all possible ultimately. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 and 17, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I read it in context because being thankful goes along with being joyful and praying continually. And we're offering prayers of thanksgiving to God. And what's implied here is giving thanks in all circumstances. In the good times. And you may think, well, of course I'm going to give thanks in the good times, but at times that's when we forget about God and we forget to acknowledge that he's blessed us so much and brought those good times to us, right? So we need to give thanks during those times, during the quote-unquote bad times, times of trial and hardship, and during times of rejoicing and celebration together. Through all those times, as we walk with God during our short journey here, we give thanks to God. It's easier said than done, isn't it, in the real world? It's easy to read these words. It's kind of easy for me to preach or teach about them even this morning. But I do believe we need God's help, and we need the help of one another to really consistently give thanks to God as he expects us to. Give thanks to God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I point this out as verse 18b, I guess we'll call it, the second half of that verse. He says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I think that's what makes Thanksgiving, you know, unique and special for Christians, is we are giving thanks, but we're not just giving thanks in general like many do. I'm just thankful and I appreciate these things. I appreciate this day and the dinner together. As Christians, we're giving thanks to God, our Father in heaven, who provided all these things and more for us, right? And he says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're giving thanks to our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, but hopefully each and every day of the year until we go on to be with our Lord. So this morning, again, we focus on giving thanks to God and who we give thanks to, giving thanks for one another, for our trials, and for eternal life. And as we think about giving thanks specifically to God, I want us to turn together back to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, and there's just five verses in Psalm 100. Shout for the joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And, you know, we give thanks just for this fact. Hopefully, again, not just on Thanksgiving, but every day, that it's God who made us. As was mentioned in the prayer this morning, thank you, brother. It's the Lord who made us. We are his. We belong to him now as Christians. He's purchased us back into his own possession. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. By our own choice, we've chosen to make Jesus our Lord. We've named him as our good shepherd to watch over us and provide for us. And so by our own choice, we are the sheep or the people of his pasture with Jesus himself as our good shepherd. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, as we sing so many times. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. There's something else to give thankful for: God's faithfulness to us as we strive to remain faithful to him until we leave this earth. Being grateful for one another in the church and thankful for the church. And so many times we look back, and if you've been a Christian some time, kind of like with Grandma's house, we look back and think, those were the good old days in the church, and we're really thankful for those days in the past. How about being thankful for today and for those who are here today, even after this great pandemic that we've lived through together? And of course, we want more people to come and be with us and be encouraged and worship with us, but I'm thankful for today. How about you? I'm thankful we're here today, and I'm thankful that more will come with to be with us and worship in the future as they're able or as we encourage them to. You know, Paul always gave thanks for the church. He always appreciated the church, regardless of what the church was going through. And there, we see the some of the trials and some, even some of the sin that the church got involved in the church in Corinth and in Rome. And most of the letters are written to correct Christians and keep them on the right path. And yet Paul writes, for example, Romans 1 in verses 8 through 10, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. How about the faith of the Church of Christ at Lassen Street in Vallejo being reported and encouraging other Christians all over the world? That's already taken place, hasn't it, to a certain extent, as missionaries have gone out from this congregation. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. The Christians in Rome were a maturing group and family of God with very diverse backgrounds. And you find that as you read throughout Romans. But Paul loved the church, and he thanked God for the church. 1 Corinthians 1 and verses 4 through 6. 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 4. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. And there again in 1 Thessalonians, the book we're studying today, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verses 2 and 3. We always thank God for you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So certainly God is thankful that we're here to worship him today. God is with us in all that we're striving to do and accomplish in accordance with his will. So God is thankful, but at the same time, we need to be thankful for one another, even in our weaknesses. And the more we spend time together, the more we come to be more familiar with our own strengths and weaknesses of the individual members of the body of Christ. But in spite of all that, we are who God has made us, aren't we? And we give thanks and we appreciate one another in the encouragement and strength we gain from one another. And Paul gives a reminder to the church and a reminder to us this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and starting in verse 12. I got the right? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with you, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And that's still true of us as Christians roughly 2,000 years later. We're all baptized into the body of Christ by the one Spirit. We're baptized into Christ. We all serve and worship the same Lord, our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body, Paul points out. In verse 16, if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Isn't that interesting that God himself has arranged the parts in the body? So all we have to do is pray to God to cooperate and be the part of the body that he's made us to be. How about it? God arranges the parts of the body as we all sit here as the body of Christ today. All we have to do is to strive to be that part and function as that part that God has created us to be. And Paul's pointing out that every part is just as important and valuable to God as any other part. Isn't that at least in part what he's pointing out? Try to say that once fast, right? Every part of the body is important. Everybody in the body is somebody. That's what Kenwood used to say, one of my mentors. Everybody is somebody in the church of Christ, in the body of Christ. Back to 1 Thessalonians 5, kind of our home-based scripture, but starting back there in verse 12, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. He goes on to say, live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage those who are timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Boy, it could take a lifetime just to learn how to live that one scripture. How about it? But I'm thankful that people have been patient with me in the church as I look back to first becoming a Christian back there in Mobile, as I just shared, how patient God has been with me to help me mature, at least to, I hope, more mature than I was as a 19-year-old Christian, right? Hasn't God been patient with us all? Because God has been patient with us, he expects us to be patient with one another, be kind to one another, encourage one another. And then, of course, he says, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid. Those who are timid in the body need encouragement, not discouragement, right? So he kind of gives a good dose of what is needed for each one in the body who may be struggling or weak at that time. Grateful for trials and hardships. James 1 and verses 2 through 4. Now, gratitude and thanksgiving is not specifically mentioned here, but I believe it's implied as James writes in verse 2, James chapter 1, consider it a pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, the last part of that verse helps me, and I hope it encourages and helps you this morning, to endure, be thankful, and be joyful during trials. Because I'm reminded that there's a purpose in those trials, so that perseverance will finish its work, and that I might become more mature and complete, that the Christian might become more mature and complete, not lacking anything. And it's a reminder that I'm not going through this trial for nothing. There's something good can come out of it, right? If I stick to God's plan and I'm thankful and persevere, or even during times of trial with God's help and the help of my brothers and sisters, there is something good God will bring from this. And at least in part, that's maturity and completeness in Christ. Finally, we've got two more scriptures to look at, and then the lesson is yours. James 5, while we're right there in James, as we're thankful for eternal life. James 5, and starting in verse 7, James wisely writes, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming." Now, this is 2,000 years ago when they're looking forward to the Lord's coming, right? Now we're 2,000 years later, roughly, still looking forward to the Lord's coming as Christians. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains? You too, he's saying, be like the farmer in verse 8. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. It's nearer today, certainly, than it was 2,000 years ago, right? In light of this fact, in verse 19, he says, "Therefore, don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." But the thrust of the scripture here is to look forward to the coming of the Lord and act and live as though that coming is going to happen. And again, we know that we're at least another day closer to that coming. He may come on this Lord's Day. You ever think about that on the Lord's Day, that this may be the last Lord's Day that we come together? We don't know. It could be, couldn't it? There may not be another Lord's Day next Sunday. I hope and pray there is. The last scripture, and then the lesson is yours, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in verse 13. Again, words of encouragement and a scripture of encouragement to depart, you know, this place and being together today. In verse 13, Paul writes, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep." Because some were asking about, what about those Christians who were faithful and now they've fallen asleep? They're dead now and buried in the Lord. So Paul's answering those questions. "We don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." We've done some grieving even recently during COVID in the loss of our brothers and sisters. We grieve together, but we don't grieve like the world grieves who has no hope in Christ. So we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So even now, our brothers and sisters that we've known over the years from our congregation who have fallen asleep in Christ. In verse 15, "According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep." Verse 16, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." 17, "After that, we who are still alive and are still left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." Amen. I think we need to have confidence in Christ. Certainly not once saved, always saved, but not once saved, almost saved, or don't know if we're saved. I heard that from other preachers and found it encouraging. I think we have to have confidence that when we're repented of our sins, we've been baptized into Christ, we're striving to walk in the light as he is in the light, we're coming together as we are today to help each other remain faithful to the Lord. We should have that confidence that we're going to spend eternity with him. Otherwise, I don't know what good news I have to share with the rest of the world, with my coworkers, friends, neighbors. Do you? If it's not eternal life and spending eternity with God in heaven, I'm not sure it's worth it. It's not worth it to endure suffering as a Christian and what goes along with perseverance as a Christian if the reward's not there at the end or we're not sure about the reward. Certainly, we can't turn our back on God and go back into the world and expect to still spend eternity with God. That's clear in Scripture. But I believe Paul makes it clear here now, that he wants us to know and have confidence that we're going to spend eternity with the Lord, whether we've fallen asleep in the Lord, those who have fallen asleep in the Lord, or whether we're still alive when he comes, that we're going to go home and spend eternity with him. I know that because in the last verse there, he says, "And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." And that's what we're doing this morning. We're encouraging one another with these words from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So the lesson is yours this morning. I do hope and pray that you have a great Thanksgiving. By the way, I encourage those in the church, if you don't have a place to spend Thanksgiving and you're going to be spending it alone, You need to invite yourself over to someone else's house. All right? I was away from home with the family. I couldn't make it back to Pennsylvania. I go to people in the church. You have an extra few, like five chairs at your table. And eventually, you know, I ask about four or five people. There's somebody to let you in. People aren't aware, most likely, that you're going to spend Thanksgiving alone is what I'm getting at. And once they're aware, people are, you know, glad to welcome you in. It's what I've found in the church. They may regret it afterwards, but they'll let you on in. If you're here today and you've yet to name Christ as your Lord, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was crucified on that cross, that he was buried for those 3 days and was raised after those 3 days in the tomb, believing that he's now at the right hand of the Father in heaven, believing that he died for your sins, if you're yet to put your faith in him and confess him as your Lord, repenting of your sin. Repentance is just humbling ourselves, acknowledging that our way isn't working, and now we're going to submit to his way and his will. It's an about face in life. Repenting of your sins and then being buried with him in the watery grave of baptism, Acts chapter 3. Today is the day for you to get right with your Creator and your God in heaven. Tomorrow truly isn't promised. Yesterday we know is gone. There's no bringing it back. So you have today to repent of your sins, name him as your Lord, be buried with him in baptism, come out of that watery grave of baptism with all your sins forgiven and now being reconciled with your Father in heaven. And then having the body of Christ, the imperfect individual people in the body of Christ to help you and encourage you along your way in your new journey of faith. If you've yet to make that decision, please come as we sing this invitation song.